Michael Grange, our basketball insider here at Sportsnet, joins us now to discuss his latest piece on Sportsnet.ca. The rumors just won't go away about Masai and the Knicks. Other teams have inquired in the past, come at him hard, yet he has remained in Toronto. Michael, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being straight-up rumor, 10 being ring the alarm bells, there's really something to this. Where do you put the Masai Knicks talk?
Well, I think, first of all, I would say there's been no talk, right? So I don't. So if it's talk,
speculation,
Masai and Knicks,
concern.
I would say kind of in that 7 or 8 category. I think, you know, the one thing I would say about that idea is, you know, there's kind of a notion out there that as dysfunctional as the Knicks have been basically for 20 years, that alone would be something that Masai Ujiri would shy away from, that he would look at it and go, you know what, that's unfixable. That's not something I want to try. That's, you know, look how everyone else has fared there and look what's happened to them while there. And subsequently that I would dismiss. I mean, I just don't like there might be a reason, good reason he wouldn't want to work for James Dolan, but I don't think the there'd be any fear on his part about the challenge or about the difficulty of it. So I think that's one thing that I personally would feel pretty confident saying. But I think the other element to this that's probably most relevant really is that I just get the sense that Masai Ujiri wants to test free agency. And, you know, he's got 2 years left on his deal, like a year and a half, I guess. And so I don't think it suggests that he's at all, like not even a little bit, that he wants to leave Toronto, and it could end up he's here for a very, very long time. But I think that, you know, I think the idea that he's going to, you know, I just think he's a guy at a point of his career and his value is really high, and he's done an incredible job both places he's been, Denver and Toronto. And, you know, you get to a point in your career where you want to see what your options are.
Yeah, and I really liked you expanding on that point in the article that's up on .ca right now. It would be almost dumb of him not to explore his opportunities. And one of the things that I've thought of is anytime you're in a contract negotiation, I don't necessarily know if he's looking to create leverage because his stock is so high. And I think people recognize that. So it's not as though he has to fool anyone to thinking that he's more of a hot commodity than he is. But potentially in some of those conversations, Grange, and listen, it's not just the Knicks that have pursued him. Washington was said to have been really interested. The Lakers, too, at a certain point when James was coming over. But one of the things that would be interesting is if he hears out other teams, maybe he gets ideas of, oh, yeah, I didn't really think of that perk or that benefit. Now let me go back to MLSE and see if they're willing to weave that into my contract as well.
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't know if that's what would motivate him in the sense of because I think the point you made, and I made in the article, is there's no point. He has no need to create leverage.
Right.
so I think, and I think it gets unfairly. It's very easy to kind of draw dots, you know, ABC, and go, you know, for example, when all that Wizards stuff came out, literally, I think within minutes of the Raptors clinching in Game 6, you know, a conspiracy theorist, and hey, we all do it. I thought, okay, well, that's him trying to somehow create leverage at that point. And when you step back and think about it, you know, really, like the guys just put together a team that won an NBA title without a lottery pick on the roster, first time it's ever happened in NBA history. And the minute they clinch the championship, is he really that much of a puppet master? The answer is absolutely not. So he doesn't need to create leverage. His record is all the leverage he would ever need. So I think that's something that's probably worth making a point of. And you know, in terms of what possible benefits are out there, I mean, you know, the guy negotiates, he's probably at this point negotiated $500 million, maybe $1 billion worth of contracts. I don't know. So I think he has a good feel for that too. I just think that there's you know, he's an ambitious guy and his ambitions are not strictly tied to basketball. I think he's a kind of a global guy. Like he's obviously just based on his citizenship and background, but you know, he kind of sees the world maybe a little bit bigger than a lot of people do. And so that would, if I had to guess, might be what would be the ultimate motivating factor is just you get to a point in your career where you can really examine what the options are, what the opportunities are. And you really only get to do that as like a free agent and his contract goes to 2021. You know, players do it and we just don't tend to think of executives in the same light. But it's only when you do kind of approach that point that you can really maybe understand what opportunities could be out there. And the Knicks keep getting mentioned because of all the obvious reasons. But I this isn't meant to suggest that that's you know, that's the ultimate end game. I just think that he could very, very well end up in Toronto for a very long time because it's a really good place to work and live and all those other things. But you know, I think all of us always kind of, it's human nature really to kind of look around and wonder, is this the best situation I'm in at the moment? And when you have an opportunity to assess, it's always a good idea to take it.
With Michael Grange of Sportsnet, and you started to talk about where I was going to take it, Michael, which is, and this may not be applicable for 2021, but while there may not be a job where Masai Ujiri could make as much money in a given year as he does running a basketball franchise in the NBA, given his interests, his concern for the bigger picture globally, I mean, would you be surprised if he runs for office someday? If he heads up a massive global charity? Like, I just think the possibilities for a guy like Masai are quite literally endless.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think I would be surprised if it ended up being something political because I think a lot of really smart, talented people have kind of made the decision that
they don't need
it. You can get a lot done without having to go through the hassle of public office. And we've seen that over and over again with a lot of examples. You know, and it's interesting. It's a completely realistic question. And I think the guy's career is like, he's not yet 50. So, you know, we've got a good 20, 25 years to kind of trace what his career ends up, to follow what his career ends up looking like. Is he ready to step away from the competitive hothouse of building and winning in the NBA? That might be a bit soon. But, you know, what basketball looks like and where it can go is changing all the time. And you know, his role with his foundation, Giants of Africa, in Africa is kind of working two ways. Like it's using basketball as a kind of a development tool on the continent and an opportunity, a way to create opportunity for a lot of people there and not just basketball players. Like he's moved well beyond trying to find the next guy who can come play in the NBA. It's really, you know, using sport or the sport of basketball as a kind of incubator for talent in all kinds of areas. And similarly, you know, using African basketball and the potential of it to kind of be an agent of change within the NBA. So he's really perfectly positioned that way. And to your point, yeah, I could see all kinds of opportunities opening up for Masai Ujiri that don't necessarily mean he's tied to a particular NBA franchise, but the timing of that is who knows. And, you know, there is an element of doing what's been never been done. Right. He brought an NBA title to Canada. You know, what did Theo Epstein do after he won a World Series with the Boston Red Sox, right? He went to the next most, you know, he went to the Cubs, you know, the only place with maybe a sorrier history. So, you know, would the Knicks qualify? Yeah, I think a lot of people would say that. So, and you know, the interesting thing there is the platform it would provide for all of his other interests. So I think that's why, you know, the Knicks just keep coming up because it would check off a lot of boxes if you could, anyone and not just the Saia jury, could get over the risk factor of being associated with Dolan and that history.
With Michael Grange of Sportsnet, 6:45 tomorrow evening, if you're headed down to the game, that's when Kawhi is going to get his ring so that they keep the tip, wraps and clips, close to that 7 o'clock mark. Michael, I can tell you, for 99.8% of athletes, I would not believe them if they said what Kawhi said the other day. But I actually do believe Kawhi when he says, I'm coming into Toronto, I'll get my ring, and then I got a basketball game to play. Like, I actually believe him when he says, this is just a game where we've got to go into Scotiabank Arena and win. Like, I don't think he is overly tied emotionally to the grander experience. Do you?
I think he might be. You know, what else could he say exactly? But, you know, I think his family's coming in. And so I don't think it's strictly just in the other game category. We know he's not a robot, right? Like, we've seen moments when he's been overcome with emotions and let loose in the moment. You know, like game 7 shot would be an example. It's one thing to kind of say that kind of stuff. And yeah, Scott, you're right. Like, if anyone could actually follow through on that, it's probably him. But, standing there with the spotlight and getting that ring and being surrounded by those guys and feeling what I'm sure will be a pretty spectacular response from that crowd. He does have a heart. He bleeds. So maybe it'll throw him off a little bit. But it should be a really interesting night, and obviously a very unique night, not only for Kawhi Leonard, but for about 20,000 people in the building.
No doubt he's an important part of our city's sports history, not just now, but our sports history, given what happened last year. Thank you, Michael. We'll do it again soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Take care.